The Apostle Paul writes on the well-known chapter here on love. And before he mentions love, he mentions something that's very unique about what that description is. He said, love is the most excellent way. And whenever most of us, a lot of us read books, you know, if you're like me, sometimes we read a book, we'll read the first chapter, and then we kind of want to sneak at the back and see what the outcome is, how it ends. But what we're trying to do right now is see a demonstration of God in marriage and see the middle things, the things that...
I need a drink.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm really thirsty.
Well, you should have thought of that before you come up here.
Well, I didn't think about it till just now, so I really need a drink.
Go for it then, okay, fine. That'd be great. Okay, faith... Hope and Love is the title of this message. And the reason I say it's the title of this message, when I first came in this morning, I came in down by the secretary's office, and there's this plaque that says, Faith, Hope, and Love. The greatest of these is love. And I thought, wow, that's been up there for months. I just haven't noticed it. But today, obviously, it's sticking out in my head and my mind.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but thank you for letting me go get a drink.
It's okay, Judy. It'll work. So... how does she do that? You know, first of all, Paul talks about in chapter 12, he's talking about spiritual gifts. And in chapter 14, he's relating to spiritual gifts. Every member of the body of Christ has a function. Everything else you want to? Has a function. And in 14, he talks about the gift of prophecy. That's a wonderful gift also. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. But in the middle, he layers this thing called love. And love is a very interesting thing because to me, and I think to the rest of us, that's the ultimate. It starts verse 1 in Corinthians 13. It says, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. Sounds like I'm making a lot of noise, doesn't it? I mean, if you're going to be a demonstration of God, you want to be a demonstration, not just in word only. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge and have faith that can move mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. Now listen, I've got this figured out. You know, I need to understand that all I got to do is do the works of God. After all, that's what God teaches me, isn't it? Go preach the word to all nations, baptizing them, teaching them to obey all things that I've commanded. And lo, I'm with you to all the ends of the earth. Isn't that what God tells us to do? It is. Speak in tongues. I want to give you the gift of tongues so that you can say you can have a power and authority and enter into God's presence with his power and authority. I want you to give to the poor. Jesus said, sell your possessions, give to the poor, and follow me. Isn't that what he says? But it's interesting that in this particular scripture, if we start doing things according to our own way, our own will, our own options, then what have we done with the Word of God? We haven't allowed love to come in. Therefore, we haven't allowed the Lord God Almighty to come in. So we're combining our efforts with our own. What are we doing? We're going right back to the way we were before Jesus came. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. What have I find myself doing but going right back to where I came from? You know, faith without works, the author of James says, faith without works is dead. Well, what does that mean? That means I'll show you my faith by what I do. Well, I want to be a demonstration of God. Thanks. Let's fix the things over there. Okay. We're learning to grow together. Amen. Judy. All right. Well, that doesn't work. Father, forgive me. Please bear in mind, this is a demonstration of God in individual lives. This is a demonstration of God in each one of our lives. You know, how am I doing these things? I really messed up because I'm trying to do things on my own strength. Right? I mean, that's what happened here. So now I got to combine it with love. Well, what is love, Eric? I can't figure out what love is. I got to have a definition of love. Do I go to the Webster's Dictionary to find out what love is? Do I ask my mom and dad or great-grandpa and grandma what love is? I want to know what love. Oh, there it is. Verse 4. It says, love is patient. Love is kind.
Is it my turn yet?
No, it's not your turn yet. I'm sorry. It does not envy. It does not boast. It doesn't interrupt. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Does not keep record of wrongs. Does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. Yeah, that's what it's in there. It's in there. So now I know what love is, don't I? You know, we all know what love is. Gee, it's right here. It's plain as day. End of the story. I'm going to get ready to go home. So now I'm going to go on down the highway. By the way, I got behind this person who's going 45 miles an hour. I can't stand that. You know, would you guys really speed up? The speed limit says 55. It's okay if we get on down the road a little bit more. Come on now. Well, I carpool, so now I got to wait for the guy next to me to show up. I'm supposed to be going 5 minutes earlier. I live and die by the clock. What are you doing? I live and die by the clock, you know? This is really frustrating. One thing leads to another, and pretty soon I'm finding myself to be very rude. What's wrong with you? Why are you making me late like this? Why are you holding me up? Well, that's not in here. That isn't exactly what he had in mind, is it? No, that's being, well, why are those guys up there preaching the word? Why are those guys up here speaking the word or teaching the word? I have the gift of being able to teach. I have the gift of prophecy. I can fathom all mysteries. Why are those people up there? Oh, is that in there? No, that's not exactly what God intends. We don't need to be prideful. We don't need to be self-seeking. We don't need to be easily angered. Do you remember what you did to me last year? And you keep on.
Yes, I do. My first year, yes.
Has no record of wrongs. You remember those things? I thought you forgave those things. You know, the Bible says confess your faults to one another and forgive us, right? Oh, okay, thank you. So is it in there? It says, love always protects, always trusts. I'm really going to let go of this microphone and trust my spouse. Yeah.
That's what I want to hit on is the word trust. And I'm going to try to say this so you can understand it. I don't know about the rest of you couples out there. As Dennis confessed, we do have a secret. And that secret is that we do not see eye to eye 100% of the time. We're doing good at 75% of the time. But anyway, on with my story. So the word trust. There are times that in a marriage you will disagree with each other. You will have a difference of opinion, which is okay. Differences of opinion's okay because you are an individual, he's an individual, but you have a difference of opinion and you shouldn't make a big deal out of it. You shouldn't. Anyway, because you're an individual, it's okay. But if there's something that you have to decide on together, if there's something that needs to be done around the house or whatever, you have to decide how to do it. Well, if one person's saying one way and you totally disagree and they say this and you say this and you say, somebody has to eventually trust. And so if I say, I still don't agree, but I can trust the God that's in him. I can trust God through him. And I can trust and do it that way instead of the way I think. Now, the point is not if it turns out okay or not, which is fun to say, I told you so. It is really fun to do that. But that's not the point. The point is that I trusted. That's what God tells me to do in the Bible. He doesn't say, you have to agree. He says, trust. That builds up my faith. that builds up my belief in him. And God, excuse me, will variably put you, not just married couples, but he will put you in a body of Christ to where he will work with you on all of those things. And the one I'm pointing out now is the trust. He puts church people together. He puts elders together. He puts deacons together. He puts good friends together. And he teaches us through them how to trust. Now, the Bible says to crucify the flesh. Now, Jesus, God wanted Jesus to be crucified, correct? He couldn't do that on him all by himself. So God put people in his life to crucify him. God wants us to crucify our flesh. Don't be surprised if God puts people in your lives to help you with that.
Having said that, we're together here to be a demonstration of God in love. Amen? Oh, okay. All right. It says, always hopes. And the second part of that, faith, hope, and love, is hope. And I think about the scripture in Proverbs that says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. If I'm looking for something, expecting something from God, I do something that's very important. I pray. If I'm expecting something from my spouse, I'm supposed to be hoping for that to take place. If I'm longing for it, and I'm reaching out, I keep on having that expectation, don't I? And there's a place where we have that hope met, because eventually as we obey God's word, trust God, we find him to be very faithful to answering our prayers, and that thing that we've been asking for comes to pass. So now I possess what I've been asking for. Now it's not hope anymore, is it? Because I have that in my possession. So it's been deferred for a while. It's been set alongside the road someplace. But sometimes even when it's deferred, it may be because God wants to have hope fulfilled in someone else's life. Then I can be generous and say, hey, look what God's done for that person over there. Look what God's done finally for Sandy. She got this answered prayer. I can rejoice with that. And now I'm starting to act like the demonstration of what God wants to do in and through me. And that's what God's demonstration is for us as individuals, as husband and wife, and as those that are friends around about us. He wants to be a demonstration to us through all those things. When we, 2 or 3 years ago, Judy and I were having a really rough time in marriage. We get along okay right now. Come on. But we were really having struggles. Things weren't working out the way we were supposed to work out. And so we got down to the nitty-gritty, so to speak, of saying, what in the world's going wrong here? We're elders in the church. We're prophetic team leaders. We've been all over, you know, in the different parts of the world. We've been different parts of this region over here, preaching and teaching and activating the saints and in the ministry of the gospel and spiritual gifts. But something's wrong with her and I. So we had to seek the Lord about that, and we found out something very interesting that Judy shared. We need each other. We need to be accountable to one another. For years, since we've been here for 20 years plus years, and we've been asked on different occasions to lead marriage groups. And we said, there's no way. We're not there. You know, we got so many things to hash out. And finally, it dawned on us over 2.5 years ago, maybe we should have a marriage group. Why would in the world would we want to do that? But I realized that whenever you teach something, you're responsible for what you teach. Whenever you tell somebody else this is the way to do it, you got to be doers of the word, not just preachers only. When somebody says, well, I've got to grow up and mature, and by golly, I better get my act together and act and be like God wants me to be. So now, hope starts coming into my life. When people come into our marriage class that we have, one of the first things they'll do is they'll share what they're going through. The reason why we're here is because we want to get better in our marriage, or it's just not going to last. I said, well, you come to the right place, because we don't have all the answers. But we together We'll find the answers for you, and we'll pray with you for God's success in your life. We'll give you something that you really need, and that's hope. Because hope deferred makes heart sick, but when it's fulfilled, by golly, we can really have a great relationship. Amen? That's what God wants. That's why he set it up. Do not forsake the assembling of yourself together. Exhort one another. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. That's the word of God. And we need to be a demonstration of God in our lives so that those things can come to pass. I need to be vulnerable with you all. That's what we're doing today. Is it not? We're being vulnerable. Yeah, we're all elders, and we have some kind of hang-ups once in a while, but we're striving for perfection. Come on, that's what the Bible says. We're striving for perfection. What is that perfection? That perfection is love. And when you read on down here, it says love never fails in verse 8. Where there are prophecies, they'll cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there's knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, that which is imperfect is done away with. And when you first hear the word perfection coming, I think about the Son of God stepping out of the clouds with his holy angels coming the second time to redeem his church. Come on now, that's perfection. That's what Jesus is all about. He's perfection. But that isn't exactly what Paul's talking about here. When perfection comes, that means I want you to stay around and pray, God says, because I'm going to send you the promise of the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's going to bring you comfort. He's the one that's going to bring you hope. He's going to teach you in the way you should walk, the way you should think. You don't really need someone else to preach the word to you to hear from God. Come on now. He says, I'll send you the precious Holy Spirit. He'll guide you into all understanding, all truth, all understanding, and all wisdom. So faith says, I got to have hope. Hope says, how do I do it and how do I respond to love? When I was a child, the scriptures say here, I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. What does that mean? It's okay to be a child. God created children. But he says, Jesus even says, unless you become like a child, a little child, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. He wasn't talking about entering in back into the mother's womb. He's talking about being born from above, about by the Spirit of God. And Jesus expects us to, yeah, be children, but also to grow little by little as we're being fed by the Word of God. And it's our responsibility to walk that Word out. And I'm reminded again about in the word of Genesis, it says that when God made Adam, he made Adam in God's image. And he said, everything in this garden is yours. This is all yours, Art. Whatever you want is yours. This beautiful garden. And all these animals, all these things that I've created. But one thing, I want you to name all these animals and all these things. I want you to take care of this garden. But God looked down and said it was not good for man to be alone. So he created or he formed a woman and brought her to the man. Out of his side, he formed woman. And the man and woman are walking together in the garden and they're doing things right. But God said, this is one commandment I want you to follow. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day you do, you'll die. You'll suffer for it. And finally, the man gives in and tries that fruit and eats it. The eyes of his understanding were opened up. And God came to that man and said, what have you done? And the man said something very interesting. He said, the woman you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit, and I did eat. We're always trying to pass the buck. We're not wanting to take the responsibility for our actions. And he blamed someone else. Do you remember who else he blamed? He blamed God. We are responsible for God's word. We are responsible for God's word. That's why he gives us his holy scriptures to instruct us and to train us in the way that he wants us to go. Yeah, I have faith and I have hope. But now love comes and I can start becoming a mature man or woman in Christ and fulfill the word of God. It says faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Check on the time here. Okay, so we have some people that we really like to hear share from our class. So I have a couple here that I would like to do some sharing. And Megan is going to share with you.
Thanks. First, I'm actually, it's the marriage counseling group that I'm going to lead and go over, not the supernatural night. So just wanted to clarify that. So marriage, anyway. So we were talking in Sunday school last week, and we were talking about the demonstration of God in marriages. And what the picture was that came to me was I had seen Joyce Meyer on TV talk about God as our anchor, and that he doesn't let us get too far away, and he pulls us right back. Well, I feel like God is that in our marriage. The three-chord string is not easily broken, that God is that center string. And so couples can't get too far apart before he brings you right back together. And if we believe that our spouse is that person that he put us with, and they are the ones who God has put us with to make us a better person spiritually, and as a person emotionally, then why would we want to get too far away? Even if it does hurt, even if they are that person that rubs off our rough edges, and that is who our spouses are, the person that is probably going to rub off those rough edges even more than anybody else, then all the more then God's going to want to keep us together and pull us even tighter together.
And it's actually even those people we actually prayed for, and then we get our prayers answered. Dennis prayed for me, and he prayed for all my kids. And so he has to be reminded, I'm his answered prayer. Whether he likes it or not, I'm it. So now we're going to hear from Ray.
I was thinking about the idea of God in marriage, and God loves us even though we're unlovable. You know, we are unlovable, and he loves us even though we don't deserve that love. And of any person in the world, usually your spouse is the one that's going to see you when you're the most unlovable. And that's kind of inevitable that we're going to hit that place. And there are a couple ways that Barb has loved me when I'm unlovable. I can hold grudges. I can pout really well. But Barb will forgive. Like if I, it's like 30 seconds and it's like, okay, I forgive you. It's over. And God is so much like that. He does not hold on to things, but he lets things go. And God has really, or Barb has really demonstrated that to me. The other, I forget. What was the other one? The other thing is, Barb hates needles and spiders, and I rescue her from those things. And I don't mind physical pain, but I don't like conflict. I mean, I can wimp out on emotional conflict, you know, like I'm supposed to go and tell the waiter that something needs done, and I don't want to do that. But Barb has this overwhelming courage that it doesn't, if something needs to be done, it doesn't matter what the other person thinks. If it's the right thing to do, she will do it. And she has been really good at encouraging me to be more assertive in a appropriate way, and that can be hard for me. And so that's one way that our spouses is God to us, to encourage us to grow in those rough edges. And it's not always pleasant, but that's not the purpose. Because if we just wanted pleasantry, we wouldn't want that. We want to grow. Just like the song that we sang, that God isn't finished with us yet. And it is really true, I have to admit it, that God gave me Barb to help me to grow because I needed some help.
Thank you for sharing. And it goes with married couples, yes, but it also goes with the whole body of Christ. We need each other. And in my dance group, we don't always agree, do we, Melissa? And we have talked with each other, and we're very open. Hey, tell me what's the situation. Tell me, you know, because we want to be the ones that God wants to use to help others, and we want you all to be ones to help us. And so with our activation, I would like all of you to stand. And if you feel comfortable, I hope you do, you hold hands with each other. Dennis is over here. All righty. Ooh, you all look so good holding hands together. That's nice. So what I want you to repeat. I can remember saying, I remember thinking, we need God and we need each other. So that's what I would like us to say on the count of three. One, two, three. We need God. We need each other. Thank you very much. And Denny, you can have the mic back.
Thank you, Dennis and Judy. Could I have the worship team back up, please? You know, growing up is really tough to do. And that's why we need each other, so we can grow up. We can't do it on our own. Left to my own devices, I'm in real trouble. Could I have the personal ministry team, please? They would come forward. Do we have a personal ministry team today? yeah, that's right. Okay. Let's have some personal ministry workers up here, please.